For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
Take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, the book of Genesis chapter 22. The book of Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to do something very unusual. I'm going to go to the very end of my message at the beginning for just a moment to talk to you a little bit about the place you find yourself in. It is a great honor to be here for the 50th Legacy Bible Conference of Pensacola Christian College. I've had the privilege, this is my 32nd one, of being a part of. And I will tell you, the music and the preaching has been as outstanding as anything I can ever remember about Bible Conference, and I thank the Lord for that. But there's a couple verses in Genesis 22 that if you would allow me for just a couple moments, talk about the place that you're in. Because college students, you are in a very, very special place. A very special place to the guy preaching to you tonight. And a very special place to scores, hundreds, and thousands of others. And our prayer for you is that it will be a very special place for you as well. Especially after I read this. And many of you would already say, it has been, Brother Shetler. It really has. Now, I want to say this, which is very exciting. And until you're this age, and when you're 66, this will mean more to you than it does right now. But it is a great honor and a great thrill to come back to the place I graduated and be able to have the Bible preached, protected, and provided here the way it was when I was a freshman. And I want to tell you something, Dr. Shoemaker, that's you now keeping that. And I want to tell you what a joy. The freedom of God's word here on this campus is as real and as present as anything when I was here. And I want to thank you for keeping that. Matter of fact, I want to do something tonight. I don't know what the future holds. And again, hey, it may be Maranatha. He's coming. But until he comes, may we pray that we can have Bible conferences like this in the future at PCC with the freedom and still using the word of God and having what we have. So you know what? Let's do something. The Bible says, we learned actually today, this morning, about the church, that what is bound on earth will be bound in heaven if we are in agreement. Can you imagine what heaven's about to have right now? We're going to have thousands of people knock on heaven's door to bound something in heaven that I believe God will bind on this earth, and that is what we believe about the Bible at Pensacola Christian College and what we preach and we teach here will always continue until Christ comes back. So let's do something. Let's stand to our feet for just a moment and let's have a word of prayer for the next 50 years. Now, I'd be surprised if we're still going to be here in 50 years. Well, I know I won't be, but I'm surprised if the college will be. I think the Lord's coming back, and I think he's coming back soon. But whatever God gives Pensacola Christian College, may the Spirit, may the preaching, and may the Bible continue to be what it is right now. That we are in an institution after 50 years that is still steady and still straight is to God be the glory. We need to pray and ask God to protect what we've all experienced this week and for the last 50 years. Father, I just take a moment and I pray in Jesus' name that what we've experienced this week, young people in the future will continue to experience. I pray for Dr. Troy Shoemaker and Denise. I ask, Lord, for both of them that you would guide them, direct them in a very special way. Lord, I thank you for the leadership and the protection. Thank you, Lord, for the team, faculty, staff, and administration that you have put together in this place. May that, Lord, continue to seek you more than anyone and anything else. And then, Lord, continue to bring students like there are here right now. And Lord, I pray, whatever it is, we got 1 year, we got 10 years, we got 30, 40 years. Lord, may the preaching of your word and the purpose of this institution remain what it is today. I pray, Lord, for you'll protect the leadership here. Thank you, Lord, for the president that you have right now. And I ask, Lord, that you'll be with him. Lord, we dedicate this night to you, Lord. This message in Genesis 22, speak tonight, Father. May they not hear from some guy that used to be here. May they hear from the Holy Spirit who is here. And God, we'll give you the praise and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So it is a familiar passage of scripture. And I wanted you to see something. Look at verse 12, 13, and 14 for just a moment, because I want to tell you about this place. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. That was God speaking to Abraham just before Abraham was going to take a knife to his son. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. And that's going to be really the title of my message tonight. Show me your faith. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son. I see your faith now, Abraham. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now you got to get this. If you said to me, Brother Scheller, what does PCC mean to you? Honestly, Brother Scheller, well, here it is. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, I'm going to ask you all to help me, all right? This is a big auditorium, but you guys are going to have to be louder. I'll just have to have you say it again, because this is it, man. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place. Everyone together. What was the name of that place? Ooh, that was good. Jehovah Jireh. Now, I've heard a lot of pastors do series on the names of God. And a lot of times when they do the series on the names of God, they're going to throw this one in, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is not a name for God. Jehovah Jireh is a name of a place where God provided. I want to tell you what PCC is to this preacher, and I believe thousands of others and college student, I pray from my heart that it will be for you as well, and maybe already has. This place is Jehovah Jireh for me. Because God, I can't go into a building. I can't go in any acre part of this property and not point to you a place where God's provided in my life. I drive around this campus. I walked around. I walked in this auditorium. I was in the Dale Horton. And I'm telling you, Jehovah Jireh there. I remember that. Jehovah Jireh there. Jehovah Jireh there. I will tell you, this is a place where God has provided for me. I ask the Lord today, God, may this be Jehovah Jireh for these college students. Praise the Lord for a place. It's only a place. We don't worship the place, but we are thankful for a place where God will provide. And I tell you, I look back over my life, and Jehovah Jireh provided in this piece of property. And I will always be thankful to the day I die for a Jehovah Jireh place called PCC where I found my God. Now, I was saved before I came here, but every major decision and everything I ever saw God do until the time I left in a great and mighty way was a Jehovah Jireh place here, and I'm thankful for that. Okay, let's get started. Genesis chapter 22. Oh, I got one more thing, though. This is a very familiar passage. And some of you would say, you know, Brother Scheller, if you would like, I could stand up and tell you the story of Abraham offering Isaac. I'm sure you could. And Brother Scheller, I don't know what you're going to say, but I got to tell you, I've heard some really good preachers preach on Genesis 22. So I just want you to know, I know this passage. I could teach this passage, and I've heard preachers preach from this passage probably going to be way better than you, and I would agree to all that. But I want to tell you this. You haven't heard Genesis 22 tonight, and you haven't heard Genesis 22 from me. And I want to share this with you. I was 19 years old. I was a sophomore at PCC. It was a Monday morning. It was chapel. And I came into chapel on that Monday morning, and there was one of our instructors, Dr. Mike Baer. Dr. Baer got up in chapel that morning. He said, college students, if you would, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 19. And that morning, Dr. Mike Baer preached on a little wee guy up in a sycamore tree named Zacchaeus. I walked out of chapel that morning and I said, wow, that was really good. That was just the message I needed. Man, he said some things today that is exactly where I'm like, I think he was in my dorm room. Man, that was just what I needed. Next day, Tuesday, my pastor, Pastor Bob Taylor, came. And Pastor Taylor got up in chapel on that Tuesday, and he says, college students, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19. A few of us a little snickered, like, oh, is he, we're gonna. And that morning, Pastor Bob Taylor preached a message out of Luke 19 on Zacchaeus. Dr. Lance, I walked out of chapel that day, and I said these words, God, that was exactly what I needed. Man, that was so good. I heard Dr. Baer preached on it Monday, but I'm telling you, it wasn't like Pastor Taylor's message, but that was exactly what I needed. Wednesday, we didn't have chapel. We had collegium meetings. Thursday, we came to chapel. We had a guest speaker that day. He was a missionary, Major Ron Brooks, retired military who now is a missionary. Major Brooks got up in chapel that day and he said, college students, if you take your copy of the scriptures, today I'd like to have you take them and turn to Luke chapter 19. Well, when he said that, the entire student body erupted because we knew he knew that, you know, just something fun to say. And we could tell within seconds, he had no idea what was going on. One of the administrators on the platform leaned over and said, are you preaching on Zacchaeus today? And Major Brooks says, well, yes, I am. And he said, that'll be the third message this week on Zacchaeus. And as long as I live, I don't ever want to forget when I walked out of chapel that day. I said, God, that is exactly the message I needed to hear. And as a young 19-year-old young man, I said, God, there ain't no book like this book. And I want to tell you something, friend. There is no book like God's word. You can hear three messages in a row on Zacchaeus, and God can speak to your heart. There's never been anything written like the word of God. And college students, you make sure while you're at this college, you allow this book to read you. You allow this book to change you. And I said as a 19-year-old, I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. I didn't know what God had for me, but I knew one thing. This is the book that I want to found and be the foundation to the rest of my life, for there is no book like the Bible. And college students, I want to encourage you. Let this book be your guide. Let this book be your bread. Let it be your shield and let it be your map, because there is no book like the book we're going to look at. So you say, Brother Shetler, I've heard Genesis 22 before. Yep, but you haven't heard it tonight at Bible conference. So let's look at it. I want you to see tonight just a few things about showing your faith, because it's time now in the day and age we live, whoever you are, whatever age you are, to begin to show your faith. So I want you to see, first of all, the proving of Abraham's faith, the proving of his faith. Would you look with me in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass, J. Vernon McGee said his favorite verse in the Bible was, and it came to pass. And let me tell you, whatever's going on in your life, it's gonna come to pass. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's gonna come to pass. But this one's an interesting one, because here in the last few chapters, old Abraham's not doing so well. He's having his wife lie to the king Abimelech about who she really is. He's done this conniving with Sarah and Hagar about gonna have a child and gonna have his own seed, and he's gonna fulfill the promise on his own. Yeah, that worked really, really well. And we got Hagar and Ishmael, and there are still troubles today in the Middle East because of that deal. and there's still struggle going on. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I want to talk to you first of all about the proving of Abraham's faith. And this is an important word, this word tempt. And I know when we immediately think about it, I said, Brother Sheller, doesn't that say in somewhere in James that God doesn't tempt anyone? That's right, he doesn't tempt anyone to do evil. He never does. The word temptation here has really a neutral word. It's the one who's bringing it. This word can be translated very easily, test or proven. And I'd like to tell you about that one. This word is used in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 in verse number 1. There was a lady, she was queen, and she kept on hearing all about this guy. And she said, oh, I hear he's got all these stables. I hear all these horses. I hear he's got all this gold. And I hear he's just like, he can answer all these questions. Well, I'm tired of hearing about all this stuff. I'm going to go see him. And the Queen of Sheba came with a huge convoy. And she wanted to, and here's what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. She wanted to prove Solomon. I want to test him. I want to see, really, is he as wise as everyone says he is? I want to prove him. That word prove in 2 Chronicles 9, 1 is the exact word here. And God says, you know, Abraham, you got saved over in chapter 15. But I'm not seeing it, man. You know, it was counted for you as righteousness. Oh, you became my child. You got saved. You'll be in heaven forever. But I got to tell you, the last few chapters, you haven't been living real. I don't see your faith. And so God tests and proves Abraham. Now, this is very important to understand. There will never come a time in your spiritual journey that God will not test you, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. So if you're in your 70s, it's impossible to please God without faith. If you're 17, it's impossible to please God without faith. There will never be a time in your life that you're not going to be tested. I mean, Dr. Shoemaker could come up and say, boy, you know what? These last years and getting these things ready, boy, I've been tested a lot. Well, I'm just going to tell you, sir, it's going to continue. There will never come a time in your walk with the Lord, because the only way to please him is to take that step of faith. So the man's 120 years old in chapter 22. And God says, you know what? I'm ready to test you again, because I'm not seeing the faith that I want to see in you, Abraham. And God wants to see that faith, that proving of his faith. So, so important. Faith to be seen. You got to see. You know, Abraham, I just haven't seen it. Take your Bibles, if you would, real quick, and turn over to James 2. Now, we're coming back to Genesis 22, so hold it there. But you got to see this over in James 2. So since it's Bible conference, you want to learn all these great things like we've been learning from all these speakers. And I want to throw something. If you've never seen this before, this is really good. James chapter 2, James uses Abraham and uses the very story we're going to look at tonight. And he uses Abraham. And look at verse number 21, if you would. I'll start at verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God? Yeah, well, good job. Thou doest well. Hey, let me say something. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father, everyone together, what's the next word? Was not Abraham our father, everyone together, what's the next word? Justified by works? When he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Brother Scheller, that's not when Abraham got saved. No, it's not. Genesis 15, verse 6, he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's his salvation. Romans chapter 4 reconfirms that. Paul in his writing says, was not Abraham justified by faith alone when he believed in God and it was counted unto him for righteousness? Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Well, Brother Scheller, James, it says that he's justified by offering. No. That's like apples and oranges. Apples, salvation. Oranges, sanctification. This is God saying, you know what, Abraham? You believe me. You're a child of mine. But I have yet to see your faith. It is time, Abraham, for you to show me what you say you believe about me. And boy, what a test. Now, let me tell you something, college students. This is the time. It is time that God begins to see your faith. You got saved when you were 7. We're not questioning that. We're not here to doubt anyone's salvation. But you know what God's saying? Yeah, you trusted the Lord at VBS. Oh, yeah, at that camp, you got saved. But I have yet to see your faith living for God. And here he says, boy, what a statement. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? I finally saw it in his sanctification when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. If you would now, let's go back to Genesis 22. The proving of his faith. God wants to see our faith. And by the way, can I tell you this? The world wants to see your faith too. They're looking. They want to see, is it real? Is it genuine? Not only is the Lord waiting for you to show your faith, the world is waiting for you to show the faith as well. Verse number 2. That was the proving of his faith. Number 2, I want you to see the priority of his father. The priority of his father. This is an incredible verse. And he said, take now thy son, thine, well, I'm sorry, but you just gotta help me again, okay? I'm old, so sometimes I can't read right. Take thy son, thine what? What kind of son is it? His only son. Brother Shetler? Yeah, that's not his only son. Good point. He's got Ishmael. But the Bible says, take thy son, thy only son. Now, for everyone that's in here, and especially college students, would you give me your hearts for a second? And I want to share a truth with you. The only son that God recognized was the son of faith. And the only works that God will ever recognize in your life are works of faith. He will never recognize your flesh. Oh, your flesh might have put some really cool things together. And you might have, hey, God, look what I did for you over here. And God says it wasn't in faith. The only son that God recognized wasn't the son that he created with his flesh and he forced it and he tried to do this and his timing was way off. The only son that God recognized was the son of faith. And I will tell you, the only works that God recognizes in your life are those that you step out in faith, that you do this and you say, God, I don't know, but I am trusting you and I'm giving you my heart and I'm giving you my will, the priority of his father. Boy, that is a great statement. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. I'm sorry, I do believe this will be the last time I need your help, so give me a good one, okay? And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou, everyone together in the room. No, nope, that wasn't good enough. Whom thou lovest. This is the first time love is mentioned in the Bible. This is the very first time. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't love before this, but this is the first time a reference to that word is mentioned in the Bible. And this becomes very important. This is the priority of his father. Now, listen to me. It is not wrong for a father to love a son. It is not wrong to love volleyball. It is not wrong to love basketball. It's not wrong to love that girl that's sitting next to you right now. It's not wrong to love your academics. It's not wrong to love PCC and college. It's not wrong to love your collegian, amen. It's not wrong, but it is wrong to love anyone or anything more than your God. And this is what this is all about, his priorities. And college student, I want to challenge you about your priority. It isn't that you can love these things. It isn't wrong for Abraham to love Isaac. But he says, take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest. Hey, let me ask you a question tonight. Who or what do you love? And then the next question, do you love that or them more than you love God. And that is the priority of what he's saying here. It's not wrong to love your son. Look at that verse. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah. That leads us to point number three. The proving of his faith, the priority of his father, and number three, the path to his fellowship. Now, it was a few years ago, I was looking at this passage and I was preaching on it, and I saw something I just never noticed before. Look at this with me. I want to talk about the path to his fellowship. And that path, number one, is step by step. Look at verse number two. Only a son whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, Moriah is not one mountain. Moriah is a mountain range that encompasses or surrounds the city of Jerusalem. There's actually seven mountains around Jerusalem, and that mountain range is called Moriah. Now notice what he says. He says, into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and I want you to be willing to give him up as a burnt offering. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Moriah. You know where Moriah is? Yeah. I've been there. I saw Melchizedek there in Salem. Yeah, I know where it is. I want you to go to Moriah. And when you get to Moriah, I'll show you the mountain you're going to sacrifice your son on. Now, this is very interesting. God does not give his will out all at once. God gives his will step by step. And if you take the step tonight that God wants you to, he illuminates the next step that you're supposed to take. Isn't that interesting? He says, you get to Moriah, and when you get to Moriah, I'll show you the next step. Now listen, this is a great point for you college students. You took a step of faith to come to PCC. Here you are. Now you got to start looking for that Moriah. What does God want for you? What is his calling? And now you're going to the next step. But God's will is never shown to you in a complete order. God's will always be a step-by-step process. And he'll show you. It's going to be right over there. By the way, do you ever think about this? I mean, we're talking about a 120-year-old man. And here this guy is walking with Isaac. Isaac's carrying the wood on his back, and they're walking 3 days' journey from where they were in Beersheba to where they're going to go to Moriah. And he's walking, and he's 120 years old. And he goes, you know, yeah, I'm willing to do this, but I'm getting old, man. That's a long ways. Hey, Isaac, there's a hill right here. Let's go do this hill right here. Let's just do this thing right now. Isaac, come on. You guys stay right here. We're just going to do this hill right now. Think about that. Abraham goes up the wrong hill. There's no thicket. There's no ram in the thicket on the wrong hill. If he's not at the right mountain, he'll never see Jehovah Jireh. He will never see God provide if he's not where he's supposed to be. Now, this is very important because I'm telling you, we're taking steps. You know, really, does it really matter here? Does it really matter this? Does it? It does. And it is imperative that you take the next step that God wants you to take, because if you don't, you're going to end up on a mountain that God isn't going to provide. This is so cool. I mean, he said, hey, you get to Moriah. When you get to Moriah, I'll show you what mountain you need to be at. This is the path to his fellowship, one step at a time. Number two, complete obedience to his will. This is amazing. Look at this complete obedience. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Let's get going. This is an old man. And he's getting out of bed and he's going, we got to do this. There is a complete obedience to God's will. And if you are going to see Jehovah provide, there has to be one step at a time. There's got to be complete obedience. Number three with this, there's a confidence that God will provide. Don't you agree? One of the great things about this story is verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, and he said, Father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, son. And he said, well, Dad, behold, we got the fire, we got the wood. But Dad, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. This is for him. He provide himself a lamb. Boy, he did that on the cross too, didn't he, with Jesus? Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And then it says, when they went up there, and Abraham, verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. The path, complete confidence, complete obedience to his will, and one step at a time. Then I want you to see number 4, and we're done. The provision from the following. Because he followed, and because he was where he was supposed to, God provided. Now, I want to tell you 2 stories in closing tonight. And one has to do with Bible conference. Because this passage of scripture dealt with my heart when I was a senior at PCC. And it was Bible conference, March of 1979. And I don't remember the speakers that year. I don't remember any of the messages. But I had something going on in my life at Bible conference in 1979. I had a God. I had someone that was more important to me than anything else in the world. I truly believe God brought that person into my life. And that person was a good person. Marilee and I, in the summer of 1978, got to travel together in a musical group in ensemble. I didn't sing. I was the preacher of the group. Marilee was the soprano. And during that summer, Marilee and I got together. Now, I just want to tell you something. I always thought Marilee was the most beautiful girl on the campus of PCC. I knew she was not, I was not in her league, and she was on a shelf much higher than mine. That summer, God, just in a miraculous way, gave us a great time together. And God, I got to see her heart. I said, man, that girl's not only beautiful, that girl's godly. I mean, she's just great. She's the trifecta, man. I mean, she's everything. And boy, I'm starting to fall for this girl. And you know, we do everything right on the ensemble. Nothing was done wrong or anything like that. But my heart's going towards her. Well, about 2/3 of the way through the summer, one of the other girls in the group tells me, you know Marilee likes you, don't you? And I go, no, I didn't know that. And she said, she does. I said, you gotta be kidding me. Marilee likes me? Well, I come back to college, and it is an absolute soap opera and drama of everything in the world. And I mean, everyone on the campus is talking about this and that and the other, and it is just a total mess. But I start dating Marilee, and I will tell you, Marilee becomes my everything in my life. I think we got a picture of Marilee and I. Yeah, that's in our back in the college days there. And Marilee and I mean, man, we start dating. And I'm telling you, now, I fooled around my freshman year, so my senior year, I had a lot of credits that I had to catch up on. I was president of the student body, vice president of my collegian. I was involved with Christian service in 2 different places. And I had to take 20 credit hours because I fooled around my freshman year. But I got to tell you, I wasn't a good student body president. I was a floor leader too. I was a terrible floor leader. There's only one thing I was good at, and that was Marilee. And I mean, it was Marilee everything. I mean, outside of my salvation, I am dating the greatest girl at PCC. And I'm going like, this is not my league, but I'm enjoying this league, but it ain't mine. And I mean, we talk about the Lord all the time. I feel like this is the greatest thing in the world. Before we went home for Christmas in the fall of 78, the Lord was starting to work on my heart about, hey, get this in the right order. Yeah, God, I got this. We come back in the spring of 79, and I will tell you, there is only one thing that's important to Jim Shetler, and that is Marilee. And I mean, everything is centered around that girl. We come to Bible conference and I'm failing. I am not doing well. Things are falling apart on the floor. There's everything going apart because I got the wrong priority, students. And during Bible conference on one of the afternoons, I go to a prayer room and I spend about 2 hours in that prayer room by myself. No one came into that prayer room. And for about 2 hours, I just really wrestled with God. And I finally came to the point, and God gave me my life verse that day at Bible conference in 1979. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. And you know what the Lord was saying to me? Hey, Jim, fear thou not about giving up Mary Lee. I am with thee. Hey, 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 don't be so dismayed about Mary Lee. I am thy God. Jim, I will help you, not Mary Lee. I will strengthen you, not Mary Lee. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, not Mary Lee. You give Mary Lee to me. Now, I know this sounds sensational tonight at Bible conference, but Mary Lee, I think, would verify this was true. I walked out of that prayer room, and I knew that I would never date Mary Lee, and I would never marry Mary Lee. I said to God in that room, God, I want you more than I want Mary Lee. And I put Mary Lee on the altar. I love you. Man, I love Mary Lee. But Lord, I love you and want you more than I want Mary Lee. And I will break up with her. I walked out of that prayer room. Within a couple hours, I'm sitting in the lobby with Mary Lee. And I break up with her. And I told her, and she said, Jim, why are you doing this? I said, Mary Lee, I got the wrong priorities. You have become God in my life. Well, she said, well, just get it right now. Just put it in the right order. Let's get going. I said, I can't do it. I said, no, I'm done. Mary Lee, it's over. She said, Jim, you're stupid. She said, Jim, just make God number one and let's keep dating. And I said, I can't do it. Barely, we're done, and we will never date, and we will never marry. And she just walked away, and she was kind of in tears, like, wow, what in the world? And I'm going, God, I want you more than anything else. It was 9 months later, and by the way, this is before any kind of phone, cell phones or nothing. There is absolutely no communication. I graduated, by the way, I did focus back on what I was supposed to, so I think I finished good, you know? But it's 9 months later, I'm traveling as a college rep, and I'm at a hotel, and I'm having my morning devotions, and I read Psalm 21:2, and it says, thou hast given him his heart's desire and not withholding the request of his lips. You know, God was number one in my life, but I have to tell you, I still love that girl. I didn't know for sure what she still thought of me, but I love that girl. And that day at that hotel, I read that verse. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and not withholding the requests of my lips. God, are you playing with me? Are you telling me she's yours? Because now I am the most important person in your life. Now I can give you Mary Lee back, and now you can have the relationship that you should have had before. You give it over to me. I give it back. Now you say, Brother Scheller, that is like the coolest story in the world. I am ready for invitation. I'm giving this over right now so God will bless me like crazy and give it back to me. I know. I told you I had two stories. So let me tell you another story. It was 1992, and a young man at college here came up to me and said, Pastor Scheller, do you ever go out on dates? I go, yeah, I go on dates with my wife. Well, I meant like, do you ever chaperone dates of any college students? I said, well, I don't know. It's kind of funny. You should ask. I don't think like anyone's ever asked us. He said, Julie and I would like to ask you to, and your wife to take, I don't know where, I don't know. Is there a Julie here? I don't know. But this guy's name's David, okay? And so David comes to me and says, would you like to chaperone her today? I said, yeah. I don't think it's what you're thinking, okay? So we go to Olive Garden and we start talking, and we're just hitting, Marilee and I are having just a great time with David and Julie, and we're talking, and things are going. And so I asked David a little bit about, you know, his past, where he's from. He says he's from Boston. And I said, well, that's great. And he's a pretty athletic looking guy. And so I said, did you put the picture up? So that's at Olive Garden. And that was, we were chaperoning David and Julie. And so we were talking there at Olive Garden. And he was talking about his high school. And I said, did you play any sports? He said, I basically just ran track. And I said, I ran track. Oh, what'd you run? I said, well, freshman, sophomore year, I ran the half mile. And then my junior, senior year, I ran 2 miles. I said, what'd you run? He said, I ran a half mile. I said, wow, I ran a pretty good little half mile. So I said, hey, so what was your time? And he says, Pastor, what was your time? And I said, well, I broke 2:10 a couple times. I did about 2:08. I said, it was about my best time. And he said, oh. I said, did you beat that? Yeah, I guess. And I said, well, like, were you under 2:05? He said, well, yeah. I said, David, did you run a sub-2 minute? Well, yeah. I said, wait a second. What was the best time you ever had? And he told me the time. And I said, okay, if you are telling me the truth right now, that has got to be one of the best times in the state of Massachusetts. He said, well, I won state. I said, did you go to nationals? Yeah. I said, did you win nationals? No. He's got one of the best times. I said, did you get any scholarships? Yeah, a few. I said, where? He told me, Ivy League schools. I'm going, I looked at him. I'm the pastor of the campus church. I looked at him, what are you doing at PCC? I said that. My wife kicks me under the table, Jim. You don't know how fast that is, man. I said, what did you do? And he said this. He said, 1990, I came down. I visited with a friend during college days. It was in my senior year. And we came on this campus, and we experienced a spirit I'd never experienced before in my life. He said, Pastor, when I got here, running didn't matter to me. I wanted the God that was at that PCC. And I wanted God to work in my life. And I gave up my scholarships to go to PCC. And I'm looking, I said, wow, I hope you made the right decision. And he said, I know I did. David Ryan marries Julie. He's had children. 3 of them have already graduated from PCC. God has blessed David and Julie in a mighty way. And I got to tell you something. David gave up his running. He never ran one time in college. When he surrendered his running, God never gave it back to him. But God will never take anything out of your life that he will not replace it with something better. I gave up Marilee. God gave me Marilee back, but I got to tell you, the relationship was completely different. And we've been married for 43 years. I am so glad. I want to tell you something. Had I never done that, I would have lost Marilee. I would have lost her. But by me giving her to God, God gave Marilee back. But you know what? God never gave running back to David Ryan. But God has blessed David Ryan in such a mighty way. Now, I want to tell you something. It is time, students, for God to see your faith. How do you go to a Bible conference and hear what you've heard? How do you hear a message on the crucifixion and go like, yeah, that was pretty cool, man. He really, boy, that Johnny Pope, he really, and not sense a responsibility to the one who died on that cross? God says, I want to see your faith. You know what? You got saved way back when, and you're at PCC. You took a step of faith. But it's time now for me to see your faith. And God says, will you give it to me? I don't know if it's your academics. I don't know if it's your dreams. I don't know if it's a relationship. I don't know if it's athletics. I don't know if it's music. I don't know what it is. But God said, hey, you know what? Are you willing to to give that over to me, because I'm telling you something. You will never see Jehovah Jireh until you give that which you have that you love over to God. He may bring it back. It may be done. But if it's done, he'll replace it with something greater than you've ever had in your entire life. College Students Bible Conference will always mean a lot to me. But I'll tell you one reason. I saw Jehovah Jireh in 1979 Bible Conference when I said, God, I absolutely love Merrill Lee, but I am willing to give Merrill Lee over to you because I love you more than I love her. And that was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And students, God's got you in a great place. He's got you in a Jehovah Jireh place. If you have not seen God provided yet, it may be because you're holding on to something that he's saying given. Richard Wallace said today, will you give your pound to him? Well, you know what? Many of you stood to give your pound. Now I'm asking, will you give your heart? You gave your pound this morning. I think you need to do that. Now God's saying, will you love me more than you love anything else? Will you love me more than you love here? God's calling some of you to a mission field. God's calling some. God wants, but you know what? You will not see him as Jehovah Jireh as long as you hold on to it. Let it go. Well, I'm going to be a nurse. Well, you know what? Maybe you will be. But now you'll be a nurse that God wants you to be instead of the nurse you were going to be. Give it to God. Whatever it is, let the Lord say, God, it's yours. We've had Bible conference. Let's not just be the hearer of the word. Let's be a doer of the word tonight.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.